Dave, come and share what the Lord has laid on your heart. Dave Anderson from the Gideons.
It's a high honor and a privilege to be with you again. I thank Pastor Mark for allowing me to come and share the Gideon ministry with you this morning. And I would like to introduce the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, 46 to 52, if you have your Bibles with you this morning. I'm going to try to recount this day in a different way, bringing to you what it might have been like so many years ago. For it started out as an ordinary day. I was awakened by feeling the morning sun beating on my homeless existence. I heard farmers in the distance herding cattle into the town, and I knew that merchants were putting their wares out and hoping for a big sale day. And here I was. I threw on my old, dirty, dusty cloak, and I lumbered up to the roadside for another day with my tin cup, hoping for a few shekels. Feeling my way as I went, listening to the sounds in the village of Jericho. Oh, my name is Bartimaeus. Yes, I was a town's blind beggar that many spoke derisive jokes about in my existence. No one knew what life was like being blind and being in darkness all of my life. I would never be able to hold down a job. I would never be able to sit with the elders on the edge of the temple and discuss scriptures. Every day was a struggle just to survive. And somehow as I reached that road in Jericho that day, I heard more of a commotion than in most days. I sensed there was more foot traffic that day. And then I remembered it was Passover. And this would be the road that from Jericho, 50 miles down the way, would take you to Jerusalem. And this might be just a red letter day for me as I sat there like every other ordinary day, hoping someone would pity me and put a few coins in my tin can. Yet I heard commotion in the distance. It sounded like a large crowd was coming, and I hoped I would not be trampled. And someone screamed out, "Jesus, Jesus." I heard of this guy. He was a miracle worker, a healer. "You got to be kidding." As my heart beat inside harder and harder, and the adrenaline was flowing through my body. This would be an opportunity of a lifetime. I must not let it pass by. As I screamed as I could in the loudest voice, "Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me." It was those words that caught the attention of the master that day. I showed more knowledge about who this person was than his followers. I knew about the lineage from David. I knew who he was. And then all of a sudden, those townspeople, they pounced on me. "You blind beggar, be quiet." And I even screamed louder, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of God." They kept saying, "The master has no time for you." But I would not be bullied that day. I seized the opportunity to lift my voice as loud as I could, for Jesus was passing by. And then that large process stopped right in front of me. And the crowd came to a hush. "Hey, you blind guy, Jesus wants to see you." I didn't have to ask twice. I jumped to my feet. "What do you want?" Jesus replied. Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Teacher, I want to see," I said. And Jesus said, "Go, your faith has healed you." And when he said that, my eyes opened. In the very first time in my whole life, the first thing I saw was the face of Jesus. And like so many times before, Jesus, the Master, showed compassion and love for the one who was in great need. Joe Dubois had some of the same characteristics as Bartimaeus. Oh, he was not physically blind, but he was spiritually blind. He grew up as a very rebellious child and had trouble with the law dealing drugs and alcohol. He decided later to get away from his problems and join the military. It was there in the induction center he was given a small New Testament such as this, and he just threw it in his backpack, for he was a non-believer. He was stationed in Fort Meade, and soon he was back involved in drugs and alcohol. In the barracks where he lived were two of his buddies, Jim and Gary, and they were also partiers and non-believers. But he also had an interest in a lady photographer over in another barracks, only to return and his buddies chastise him. "Do you know who she really is? She's a born-again Christian." He explained, "She never told me that." And time moved on, and Jim and Gary and Joe decided to, before they were being deployed to Korea and Vietnam, to have one big party on the base that included many pranks. Unfortunately, that night, two of them got away, and Joe was caught by the military police. And so as he was waiting a hearing, he was moved in with two other Christian men. And he told them to sit on their side of the room and I'll sit on my side. But he could see in these two Christian men that read the gospel each and every day, that they had a peace and a joy that he could not understand. And on the night before his hearing, he took drugs and alcohol as much as he could, lay down on his bed, knowing that he might die. But he woke that morning only to see his two roommates sitting and praying for him. He could not believe that someone cared so much about him that they were praying for his soul and for his survival. And he was led to the Lord Jesus Christ on that day. And the lieutenant dropped the charges against him. One testament purchased by a church member and a Gideon missionary that brought him to Christ. More about this testimony later. An anonymous woman writes her story. "My childhood was not a happy one. My mother was always telling me she did not want me around. I do, however, remember going to vacation Bible school, reading stories about Jesus and reading about God. But in my latter teen years, I had a lot of trouble at home that ended me in the city jail. I had no TV, no visitors, no cellmates. But there's only a few books, including a Bible placed there by the Gideons. And there she got down on her knees and prayed for the Lord to come into her heart. And immediately she felt a peace and knew that I was loved by someone at last. And my stuffed grandmother, she says, she would like to give me a home. And I knew that this was God ordained as I was released from custody. I'm now a very active in the jail ministry, she says, because I believe this is where the Lord wants me. And I want the women to whom I minister to know, no matter what they've done or who they are, that God's saving grace is there for them also. And she also says the same words that I hear so many times. Thank you for putting scriptures in the hands of prisoners, in hospitals, in other places that are found. My friends, that thank you goes to each of you this morning. Goes to the congregation here at Petersburg Baptist Church. For it is your steadfast faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Gideon ministry through your prayers and your financial support that makes this ministry possible. It is each of you that are there with us on the sidewalks of RPI and Russell Sage, local schools, distributing the word of God, ministering to students in that venue, and being a witness there for Jesus Christ. It is you, each of you, that through us, that show the care for the elderly through God's placing large print New Testaments in nursing homes, such as in the Van Rensselaer Manor, Eden Park, and many others. It is you that were there with us recently at the Scaticoke Fair, distributing Bibles to Bible-aged children and being a witness for Jesus Christ. During that time, I encountered one lady that came over. And it's not only students that we meet, but many, many people stop by for prayer and to know a little bit more about the Gideons. It was the most interesting encounter I think I've ever had in my 30 years of ministry. I asked if this lady, or I offered her a New Testament, and she refused. She said she's a believer. She went into her purse, her pocketbook, and she pulled out a Bible that I have never seen. It was a Gideon Place Bible that was war-torn. Pages, the underlinings. It had been so used. She said, yes. She was Catholic. She was a believer. And this was used for her morning worship with the Lord. To be honest, I asked her, can I exchange it and give you a new one? Because I like to show what to others what this ministry is all about and the value of it. It is your ministry made through Christian businessmen and professionals called the Gideons, serving the Lord, reaching out to all these grade school children, first responders, and state police at the fair that makes this ministry possible. It is each of you through your prayers and faithful support that also use the Gideon Card program that is in the back of your church, which I'll mention in a few minutes. It is each of you that makes it possible for one Bible to be placed every 2 seconds somewhere in the world. It is each of you that have made it possible. This year, over 84 million scriptures have gone throughout the world. If you are at Sunday school class, I'm glad you're here, but at Sunday school class, I distributed all where all the needs are throughout the world, in India, the Philippines, where there's orders for more scriptures. That's what God wants for all of us, to go into all the world proclaiming the gospel. And we have a new vision statement found in Philippians 1, verse 27 that was read a while ago. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you in my absence, I may hear of you that you stand firm in one spirit, one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. It is the Gideons that are striving side by side with the help of the church, going where the church can't go and to many venues right here in Rensselaer County and throughout the world, spreading the good news so others may there for the very first time open scripture through the Spirit, see the face of Jesus. As each of you, Christian businessmen and professional, plus their wives, a serve as members of the various Protestant denominations. We're believers, obviously, in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We serve as witnesses and missionaries for Christ. I know that some of you have, and I thank you for your service, military service. I know every church I speak in, there's a few people that have served very bravely, and I thank you. Steve Sims was such a person. He was drafted at the age of 21 during the time of the Vietnam War. He stated that as he went into the induction center, he saw a man standing at a table with some Bibles, and he took one. And he put it in his shirt pocket. Now, he was not a believer. He says, I was not a Christian, but as I looked at nature, I knew it did not happen by chance. He said, I believed in God. But just before he left for duty, his best friend, his mother, introduced him to Psalm 91. And while off duty, he took out that testament each and every moment he could, and kept reading the promise of God in Psalm 91, and his fears and anxieties dissipated. Yet on January 20th, hundreds of the enemy were heading towards his platoon. There was no air power that was in sight. And on the next day, his platoon went into the jungle. There was a wire, and the commander stepped over it. And he was next, and he stepped over it, and the whole jungle lit up with fire. Four or five explosions came right near him, yet he was uninjured. All of the gunfire, and he was uninjured. 15 of his men, uninjured. How true was God's word found in Psalm 91, verses 2 and 3. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. And once he returned from Vietnam, he became to read the Bible even more and more. And I'll never forget that date in January 20th. For it was a miracle of God. It was a miracle of God that saved my life. And he came to the conclusion, if the 91st Psalm was true, so was the rest of the Bible. And he surrendered his life to the Lord Jesus and asked forgiveness of sins. And he ends, he says, like many others before, I never know what I have done without the comfort that Gideon's small Bible, God's word. I cannot thank enough the man that was there at the Syracuse Induction Center at earliest in the morning that took the time to provide these Bibles for recruits. And I want to thank the person in whatever church that gave a donation So back to the testimony of Joe Dubois. He had received Jesus, his Lord and Savior, in his two close friends. Remember, Jim and Gary went off to Korea and Vietnam. They're now Christians. They're in ministries. One of them near a ministry in Tampa, Florida. And what about the photographer they met? He married her. Amen. And Joe has been a real missionary for Christ as he joined the Guinean ministry. And he's gone on many international programs, blitzes, throughout his being a member. Jesus asks us that same question this morning. How can I help you? I want a different type of life. I do not want to keep going down the same road. Oh Lord, help me to see not only physically but spiritually. I need you, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior. And so what did Bartimaeus do that day? He left his cloak. He left the tin can. There's no time to pick them up. It's time to follow Jesus. This was no ordinary day. This was an encounter with the Master, Jesus the Messiah. How many more Bartimaeus stories await to unfold here in this community and throughout the world? Only God knows. This morning, as a Gideon International missionary serving the Lord in the marketplace of this community in the international ministry, I first of all ask for your prayers. I ask you for your prayer for consideration of becoming a member of the largest missionary organization in the world today, sharing your faith in the Word of God in the sidewalks of colleges, bringing God's care to the elderly in nursing homes, to the youth at the Scaticook Fair, to one that you open the eyes and for the very first time they come to know Jesus. May it be you, the one, as you use your envelope in your bulletin. If you take your bulletin today, there's an envelope there. If you could share financially whatever God has laid on your heart today, I want to tell you, all of the financial contributions goes 100% to print, purchase, and ship God's word where it's needed. And may it be you, through your faithfulness and prayers, to open the eyes of another in order that through the Holy Spirit that they come face to face with Jesus. May God add abundant blessings to each of you as you serve the Lord. Amen.
The Word of God has made a difference in each one of our lives. If we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, it was because someone shared the Word with us. And I'd encourage you to support the ministry of the Gideons. It's a worthy program, a worthy mission. Father, we do thank you that we have heard your Word, from your Word, Lord. And we realize the importance of your Word, the good news about our salvation and about our everlasting life and our future home with you, all of that hope that we have, all that joy that we have to look forward to, the ultimate comfort of all of our hearts comes from your word. And so, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that we might support this ministry of the Gideons in prayer. We pray, Lord, your blessing on Dave and those who are working alongside of him, in the schools, the hospitals, the hotels, the fairs. Father, wherever you're using these Gideons, we pray, Lord, your blessing upon them. Take the word that they spread and allow it, Father, to penetrate the hearts of those who need to know you as their Savior. It's hard to know, Lord, how they can just open up the Scripture and find those important passages that deal with salvation. But we know, Lord, that every day you use your word to touch the hearts of those who need your salvation. So bless their ministry, we pray. Bless us, Lord, as we give to this wonderful ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.